Kurt and Kate Mornings, not just on the radio.
It's a podcast, too.
Culture is doing its best to convince the world there is nothing special about Jesus. And many believers, well, they never get beyond a Sunday school understanding of their own faith. You know what that leads to? Christianity's most important historical fact, the resurrection, is often the most misunderstood, relegated to Easter and funeral services, basically, it's like, okay, well, we'll talk about it Easter and funeral services. Mm-hmm. And you know what it ends up creating is a powerless Christianity, because if there is no resurrection, even if you talk about Good Friday and the crucifixion, if you don't have the resurrection, you don't have the gospel.
Absolutely. That's the good news. Well, Jeremiah Johnston wrote a book that'll help us all look at 7 best reasons to believe in the resurrection of Jesus.
And he's got a companion volume that's brand new this year. It's an interactive Bible study, and you have video access. It's just really neat. And the backstory behind this Bible study is fascinating as well. Whenever we chat with him, we're always kind of like on the edge of our seats, because he always, we turn corners, right? Oh, that's interesting. And then around the next corner is something else that's interesting. And then it's just like connect the dots. I think you'll enjoy this conversation. Hey, Jeremiah, welcome back. How you doing?
I love Kurt and Kate in the Mornings, and thanks for asking me to come have a very important discussion, because I've been doing a lot since I talked to you last.
Okay, so fill us in. What have you been? You've been up to? There's some. Oh, by the way, I've seen you everywhere on YouTube. You're all over the place.
Well, the good news, I haven't had any more children. You know, we have 5 kids, so that's good news. But including triplets who are 7 now. But but since I was with you last, the Lord really blessed this book, Body of Proof, and Lifeway, the world's largest Christian publisher in Nashville, approached me last summer. They said, Jeremiah, we have been around for over 100 years, but we've never done a Bible study just on the subject of the resurrection. Now, after I picked myself off the floor out of shock, I said, okay, let's do it. And I said, now, the only way we can do a Bible study on the body of proof of Jesus's resurrection, I don't want to go film in some trendy looking warehouse like you do all your other Bible studies. I said, I want to go to the land of Israel, and I want to film in all of the resurrection sites of Jesus in Jerusalem. And Kurt and Kate, would you believe that we got on a plane, and little did we know this was only a few days before the Hamas attack in October.
Jerusalem. Wow.
We had 2 drones, 4 cameras, we had an amazing crew, and we filmed. And I want to tell you this, normally it's agonizing to watch myself or listen to myself on radio after the fact. I don't know what, it's just agonizing to watch myself. But yeah, when we watch, well, I can't stop watching this Bible study, because the center point is not me, it's the places we're at. And it's filmed in such a way where, like, you're just coming with me over my shoulder. It's very one-on-one. And I filmed in Bethany, where Lazarus was raised from the dead. Many Christians have never even been to Bethany.
Yeah.
They didn't even know you could go there. I filmed in the eastern side of the Mount of Olives, at probably ground zero of where those other Christians were resurrected in Matthew 27:51. Then I filmed inside both the Garden Tomb and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where the very resurrection event occurred. I mean, nobody has this kind of footage.
Yeah.
I mean, just we could spend the whole time just talking about that. And I preached John 20, that John outran the other disciple, and he, quote, saw and believed. And then, finally, we had to go off-roading, got in a Hummer, made me car sick because it was so bouncy, and we found the actual road to Emmaus. Now, in all my speaking, yet to actually talk to anyone who's been there. I know where it is because of my connections with archaeologists there, but there's 6-foot-tall Roman cylindrical mile markers, and there's this great passage, and Kurt and Kate, I've been praying this all week, that people would see the truth of the resurrection just like Cleopas did on the road to Emmaus, and their heart would burn with the truth for it, according to Luke 24:32. And we filmed there on the very road. And so when someone buys the Bible study that's like $15, in the back of the Bible study are codes, and those codes unlock all 11 episodes of what we filmed in Jerusalem. And so you literally not just read the Bible study, you get to watch my teaching in all of these spots, because here's what everyone needs to know on this Maundy Thursday, which, by the way, in Latin means mandate. That's all that means. Jesus says, a new command I give you. That's John 13. There's nothing weird about that. Some churches don't really talk about Maundy Thursday. It's part of his farewell discourse in John 13. He said, I'm giving you a new commandment. Love one another. This is the new commandment that I'm going to solidify in my blood. That's what's on my heart this morning. And then when he does that, he gives them that, he goes on, and obviously he's crucified, he's resurrected, and the disciples didn't expect it, but then they're filled with hope on that first Sunday morning, which we know the date of April 5th, AD 33. But I want people to understand the immediate hope that you have from the resurrection today. A lot of people think, oh, well, yeah, I believe in the resurrection, I'm a Christian, how does that really impact me today? Well, here's an anecdote. I used the word hope 143 times in my Bible study, and I didn't even mean to. That's how much hope the resurrection gives us as believers.
Thank you for taking some time to listen to this episode of the Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. We always welcome a review with your thoughts and comments, and please feel free to subscribe and follow us as well.
This is a tool that is, it's not just a companion volume then. It's like opening up the floodgates and to actually see the places. I mean, it's like for $15, you can take a trip to Israel and see all these places and have someone teach exactly what happened at these places. I mean, it's just fantastic. But your book, Body of Proof that came out, that we talked about the last time you were with us. That book we loved because it lays it out in a way that we can understand. So reasons to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And for those who maybe have never really looked at this, you never know. I mean, what radio is catch as catch can. You never know how God connects the dots. You've got seven best reasons to believe in the resurrection of Jesus. Could you do us a big favor and just fly over those seven, just to kind of build a case for this?
I would love to. It's so important that people know there is evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. So number one, the resurrection of Jesus is the only way we make sense of the suffering in our lives. That's Romans 8:18. Number two, Jesus predicted his resurrection, his death and resurrection. And this is important because a lot of skeptics, even Bible skeptics, say that Jesus didn't really know what he was doing. People made him God later, but guess what happens when you read the Gospels? Certain passages stick out. Mark 8:31, Mark 9:31, Mark 10:33 and 34. Jesus said the Son of Man must die. The Son of Man must be crucified. He will be raised on the third day, quoting Hosea 6:2 and 3. Body of proof number three. Jesus demonstrated resurrection power. He raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. That's Mark chapter 6. He raised the widow of Nain's son. That's Luke chapter 7. And then where I just filmed, John chapter 11, is where the most stupendous miracle of all, he raises Lazarus from the dead. Body of proof number four, none of his disciples expected him to die on a Roman cross and certainly didn't expect the resurrection. In fact, they tried to stop him from going to the cross. That's the really fascinating thing. Mm-hmm. Jesus' disciples occasionally spoke for Satan, Kurt and Kate. Peter tried to stop him from going to the cross, and Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." Body proof number five, the archaeological and textual evidence that we have from the material culture. So those are things not included in the Bible. Overwhelmingly confirm the resurrection accounts embedded in the Gospels. I quote Jody Magnus, an atheist archaeologist from University of North Carolina who specializes in Jewish burial traditions. She says, hey, guess what? The Gospels get it right. Body proof number six, it is the only convincing explanation for the conversion of those who did not believe in Jesus during his lifetime. And I'm thinking about his immediate family members, not his mom, but I am thinking about his brother James, who was embarrassed about his brother Jesus, wanted nothing to do with the Jesus movement. John 7, verse 5, not even his brothers believed on him. It took a resurrection for James to not only believe his brother is the Messiah, but to die by Roman stoning in AD 62, according to Josephus, believing that. And then finally, number seven, something I've written an entire other book about called Unimaginable, What the World Would Be Like Without Christianity. You cannot explain explain the change in the Roman Empire, the change in the world. You can't explain 3.2 billion Christians and the fact that we're part of the greatest force for good on planet Earth if you're a follower of Jesus apart from the resurrection of Jesus. That's my body of proof.
Yeah, this is great. I want to ask you something here just to get your opinion on it. And some people would say, okay, well, what about the Shroud of Turin, the alleged burial cloth of Jesus with the image on it? Is that a possible piece of proof that the resurrection is real? Where do you stand on that, on the Shroud of Turin?
Well, I'm getting ready to do several secular programs on that, beginning at 9 a.m. Central, actually, so please pray for me. I was a total skeptic on the Shroud. In fact, I never mentioned it in my book a year ago, because I was influenced by the carbon-14 dating. And just for anyone who doesn't know what a shroud is just simply a burial garment. It's Jesus's burial clothes. The burial clothes are mentioned in all four Gospels, so there's nothing weird about that. His body was wrapped in a linen burial shroud. Now, having actually looked at the evidence, having actually studied the evidence, without a doubt, I believe it's the burial cloth of Jesus of Nazareth. I have done a total, complete change on that because the evidence is so good. In fact, I put out a YouTube video on it last year, and then when I was in Israel, I actually had a day off, which was a miracle, and I went to the Notre Dame Shroud of Turin exhibit, and I was blown away because we even know the blood type on the shroud is type AB blood, which is fascinating to me because type AB blood plasma can be given to any blood type. That's interesting. There are 372 laceration marks on the Shroud of Turin. What does that tell me? Well, I do know from my expertise in execution, Jesus was crucified in an exceptionally heinous manner. They didn't fashion a crown of thorns for every crucified victim. They wanted to be especially brutal with Jesus. There's nobody else crucified the way the crucified man is remembered in the Shroud of Turin through this fascinating image other than Jesus of Nazareth. And so I want people to know who may be uncomfortable with it, it's not a Catholic relic. It didn't come into the control of the Catholic Church until 1988. Before that, it was held in private hands.
Interesting.
And it's been suppressed. The British Museum suppressed all the raw data for 27 years. And by the way, it's not only the most studied artifact in history, it's the most lied about artifact in history. A lot of lies out there about the Shroud of Turin. So here's the point. I don't need it for my top seven, but let me tell you, it's in my top eight now.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, I'm just a little bit surprised because, I mean, let's face it, it's kind of a flashpoint whenever you bring this up, even in casual conversation. Everybody has an opinion about it. How in the world did the image get put on the cloth, you know, and they have not been able to reproduce this thing? It's not paint, it's not this, what is it, radiation from the resurrection in your opinion?
It's not even radiation. It's like an electrical bolt that stayed on there. I mean, this is where we need more than just like a 2 minutes, but it would take the equivalent power of 6.4 gigawatts. And you'll remember from the 1985 Back to Future movie,
right?
1.21 gigawatts is all you needed to go back in time. But scientists say to emit the kind of electrical power that it would take to create that kind of image on a cloth would be the equivalent of 6.4 gigawatts. And you can just Google how much that is.
Like a lightning bolt.
And again, that is what happens at the moment of resurrection. And I was in the very tomb where it happened, and I filmed there. I got on my knees teaching there with the camera on. And I want people to experience the power of their own resurrection, because that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you today if you call on Jesus as your Savior. If you're a Christian today, and John was already a Christian, but he still needed to be reminded of the power of the empty tomb, he looked down in John 20, verse 8, and he, quote, saw and believed. Mm-hmm. And that's my prayer from this talk that we're having today, Kurt and Kate. I want people to hear this and see and believe again. And I also want to encourage you, get this Bible study while you can. Churches are doing it. The feedback that I'm getting from people saying I had no idea there was evidence for my faith and for the resurrection, and I had no idea there was so many practical applications. The resurrection is the key that unlocks all the other doctrines and belief systems of the Bible. So we want to be as best as we can in believing in it.
Yeah, and as much as we want to linger at the foot of the cross and remember what Good Friday is all about, You have to move on to that, because if Jesus died and then didn't walk out of the tomb, then our faith is in vain. You cannot separate the crucifixion from the resurrection. They have to go together.
That's exactly right. And we appreciate the cross, we know, but the cross is meaningless without the resurrection. And I say this to my Catholic friends all the time. Jesus is not still on the cross. Praise be to God. We appreciate by his stripes we're healed. He's also not behind us in a tomb. He's before us on a throne, physically, bodily. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you're believing in a real person. Now, his body is resurrected. It has new capabilities that someday our bodies will have as well. And every time you pray, you don't pray alone, because Jesus is interceding for you. Without the resurrection, there is no Christianity.
Yeah. Jeremiah, thanks for being with us. We appreciate you, and you're always welcome to hang out with us here, because whenever we chat, you always build us up in our faith, and we love that.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Kurt and Kate Mornings Podcast. Please take a minute to follow, subscribe, and review us. And no matter where in the world you are, you can listen to us live from 6 to 9 a.m. weekdays on the Moody Radio app.